broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
All who are broken, lay down your heart. stretched out to you. Come as you are. Amazing grace. Let's stand and sing this great hymn. If
you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in his sweet embrace and made me what I am today, just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a this old song.
Sing with me.
I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. No more in night. And now I'm so happy. No sorrow inside.
Sister Helen and Brother Bud up here, and very friendly to me. And then after it voted me in, the friendliness went away. And I'm kidding, Helen. But you know, the whole thing is there's so many fond memories of being here. I remember one Sunday morning I was sitting, man, I was back, I backslid a little bit, about four rows back, trying to blend in. And next thing you know, Jimmy Rogers. You may know Pastor Jimmy Rogers?
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. He was the pastor of Cherry Grove. My how God works. And Jimmy was starting his sermon. And Jimmy's up here and he's preaching. And next thing you know, Jimmy has a nosebleed. And Jimmy's nose bled so bad that Sunday morning. Anybody remember this?
Okay.
And Jimmy had to close his Bible. And Jimmy left. And Roger Langrell got up here and said, well, I believe we got a pastor in the church. Hey, Brother Scott, come on up here. What did we do? Why did we come to this church? All of a sudden, now I'm going to preach on the top. And, you know, it was just a, woo, what a day. Now, speaking of what a day, does anybody remember what I preached on that day? One lost sheep. I had another thing that I was going to give to the person, but I love these little minutes out of Rita's office. I kept her in business while I was here, putting them in my pocket every time I walked in there. So I love the minutes. I remember one time we had a baptism service, and Terry had to go fill the baptistry with cold water. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
We got in there, and I just decided I put some super glue on my lips. So that way when I was stepping in, I went, water, and when those girls came down and got baptized, they were just shaking. I was like, man, you gotta be careful. I think you got Elvis Presley in the baptistry with you. I mean, but those are fond memories. Those are wonderful memories to have. And, you know, when you sit there and think about homecoming, I'm gonna do something different because, you know, I like doing things the Lord's way.
Amen.
I want to open it up. Does anybody have anything to say about homecoming, what it means to you? What does homecoming mean to you?
It reminds me of that great homecoming.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What a day that's going to be.
Amen.
What a day to see my Savior face to face.
Amen.
Just to be able to, don't have to worry about touching his garment. I'm going to touch him.
Amen.
And he's going to touch me.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Reminds me of Jesus going back to Nazareth to his old home church.
There we go. Brother Richard.
The four L's. Family, fellowship, friends, and food.
Don't forget the last one. Yeah. That is one thing. When you have food, you have a lot of Baptist ministers show up. So, say food. What? Yeah, I'll be there. But think about it. Homecoming. You know, why do we say it? What do we do when we go to homecomings? If you go to a homecoming, whether it's a ball game or whether it's at a high school, you know, you talk, you fellowship, you share, and you share good times. And sometimes you share things that not so good times because those friends were there for you just like Christ is there for us each and every day.
Amen.
You know, we sit there and say, we want to keep in touch. How many of my people have ever said that? You go to a, you know, sometimes you go to a homecoming or a, what's the other thing? That family reunion. There we go. And what do we say to our family when we see them? Brother, we need to keep in touch more. We need to see more of each other. But what do? We don't. We say it. But think about it. When we say we want to get grounded and we want to live closer to you, God, we have to exercise it. We have to practice being in the presence of God. I've been reading a book, The Practice the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence. And I'm sitting here learning so much from this monk because he was a dishwasher in the kitchen and he was in the monastery. And when he really realized that being close to Jesus is not about, it's not about me. It's not about the rewards. He even prayed that God would not bless him with rewards because he wanted nothing to keep him off focusing and wanting God to be with him.
Amen.
Think about it. When we come to church sometimes on Sunday morning, we want to sit there and say, hey, God, remember that? I was on time today. Think about it. I got up on Sunday morning. Think about my kids. Hey, Lord, I even made it back for Sunday night. You know, I think you should think about that, Lord. You know, I need some good things coming my way. But here's the thing. We shouldn't be wanting any rewards from God. He's already gave it. He's already gave us. There is salvation. There is eternity with Jesus Christ, God Almighty. What more do you want? You know, I sit here and I think Christians are always saying, well, I would just like to have. Listen, if you got Jesus, you got all you need.
Amen.
There's no more wishing. There's more, here's your wish list that I want to pull out for you, Lord. No, I'm ready to serve. Plug me in. So, you know, I think we need to really be so thankful for what the Lord has blessed us with. I am thankful that I was able to serve this church for 10 years. I am so thankful for the fellowship and the family and the unity that we built together. Seeing teenagers grow into manhood and now I go to the hospital and some of them are taking care of me. I'm like, please get me out of this room. But, you know, the whole thing is I see this and I see how it's networking. And guys, I'm excited because I've seen a glimpse of what heaven's going to be because we're all going to be their brothers and sisters. And we're going to be no more so torn apart and so busy with our work, so busy with things and chores of the world that we're going to be able to really fellowship just not with each other, but with Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty. I'm looking forward to that day, and we all should be looking forward to that day. But today's sermon is a little bit different than that. We're going to talk about time. Now is the time. Tim said, you know, 2 years ago, October 3rd, I had an aorta dissection. One of the things most people don't survive from. And I am so thankful that the Lord is continually to let me stay here on this side and preach His word and do His work, not my work, but His work. I am so glad that He had the doctors and the nurses and all the staff there to take care of me and the prayers and prayer. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I think prayer changes things.
Amen. Yeah, exactly.
And I think sometimes people say, you know, I think this world is just too far gone. Let me tell you something. When have you prayed about instead of talked about? When have you hit your knees down there and prayed for our nation and prayed for our leaders and prayed for our elected officials? When have you hit your knees before you opened your mouth? Because here's the thing, guys. A lot of us are easy to throw it out. Throw it out. But we need to be taking it to God. Amen. And taking it to the Lord God Almighty and saying, Lord, hey, we need you.
Amen.
We need you. I need you.
Amen.
And I think that's how we're going to have to be in this day and time. But I did want to get some things out of the way because I got plenty of time. No pun intended. I want to say thank you to this church. I want to say thank you for the support and the prayers that you did for my family and me when I was out of commission for those months. You don't know what that means to me. You don't know what it means to me to see people come by and visit, cards and letters. Because, guys, when I woke up, I had no idea what happened to me. I had no idea. But you guys were there. And you guys prayed and took care of my family. And no, I wasn't in the actual family in this house, but I was still in God's family.
Amen.
And you guys reached out and loved on us. So for me and my family, I say thank you, Boone's Creek Baptist Church. I say thank you for being good stewards and being good leaders in the Christian community and doing what God would have you do. Continue to love on people. Continue to reach out. Continue to find new ways of reaching the lost. Guys, it's right. They're not just going to always just fall in here. I don't know how many. I know Bill Broyles is here. Bill, where you at? There you go. Thanks for standing up. I'm glad you took that stand up there. Think about it, Bill. When you've gone fishing, how many fish have jumped in your boat without any fishing line?
Too many to count.
Too many? Thank you, Bill. I will never call on you again. But when you sit there and think about it, when you go fishing, fish just don't pop up in the boats. Just don't happen. We have to go to them. We have to put line on there. We have to put bait on that hook. We have to go to where they're at. And if there's no fish right there in that section, you're going to move your boat somewhere else.
Amen.
And I think you guys are doing a great job of that. I love seeing these new classes being taught in the Family Life Center and stuff like that to reach out to people. Continue it on. What a great thing. What a great way to show your love. Because that's what it's all about, the love of Jesus Christ. So if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the time. As you can see, there was four dots there, so there's going to be 4 points today. And the first one we're going to talk about is T. And that's going to be turn to the Lord. It says, for it saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted in the day of salvation. Have I succored thee? Now think about that. What would that mean? Well, when you sit there and think about it, it means I have helped thee. I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now think about this. So many people put it off. I'm going to do it tomorrow. How many people has mowed their yard this week? Mowed the yard. How many people put it off to next week because it just wasn't high enough? There we go. Now think about it. What happens next week when the temperature drops and we don't get any, well, we might get some rain, but won't it be easier to put it off again? Think about it. You put things off. You put things off, especially going to the doctor. I'm the best, you know, putting things off. I'm like, I don't want to see them. They might want to run a test. But I put things off and I always say, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. Listen, if you put off your salvation, if you put off Jesus Christ, there may be a chance you may step off into eternity without
Him. Amen, that's true.
So many people are saying, well, you know what? I'm going to get saved later. I got some things I got to clean up in my life. Let me ask you this. How do you think you're going to clean that up?
Amen.
Who's going to help you clean that up? If you haven't cleaned it up yourself, then you probably should know that you need a Savior.
Amen.
You should probably know you need someone to help you. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord's help every day.
Amen.
I need the Lord when I wake up in the morning. I need the Lord and His grace to give me breath so I can breathe. I need the Lord to give me vision so I can see. I need the Lord to give me understanding of His Word so I can believe. Listen, we need Jesus.
Amen.
And when we sit there and don't think we need to turn to the Lord, then we're going to be turning to ourselves. And when we turn to ourselves, we get in the mess that we are as a country right now.
Amen.
We get in a mess where we don't understand what's it mean to be a man and a woman. I'm going to tell you this. Praise the Lord. We have the Word of God that in Genesis it says God created man. Let me tell you something, Tim. I'm going to preach a little bit today. Is that okay? God created man. Do you know what? Man was not confused what he was. Man was not confused. He created Adam. He said his name is Adam. His name is not Madam. His name is Adam. And I think it is time for the church. We sit here and say we believe. Well, do you believe that God created man and woman? Well, I think it's time for the church to say, you know what? We believe it too. And we're going to stand on the promises that God says we need to take up His Word and put the shield on and put our helmet on and put the sword out there and let the world know that there is no confusion.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I don't know how many people. April, are you still here?
Yes.
I like calling people out there. April, when you had your little baby.
Mm-hmm.
You and Nick were there, and people came to the hospital, and maybe, did you have a reveal party?
Well, we didn't have a party, but of course there's pictures, you got to do the whole Facebook
thing. Okay, family. Those reveal parties are in now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Now,
okay,
so I'm out of that party, thank the Lord.
Okay.
And but these reveal parties are in, where you pop a balloon, or shoot shotguns, or, you know, eat cake. And I think we did, what, cupcakes for somebody at the church? I had no idea. Just give me the cupcake.
Give me
the cupcake. The whole thing is, but when people came, if they didn't know that you were having a baby girl,
yeah.
If they didn't know, and they came to the hospital and they said, oh, what a cute baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what is it?
Yeah.
Did you have any confusion?
No confusion at all.
No confusion at all.
We had all
the
pink stuff at the home.
Huh?
We had everything pink at the house. Everything
pink. So he's already pinked out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, guys. We live in a day and time when we're trying to confuse people in this day. I went to New York City. I was in Brooklyn staying for a mission trip this summer. And on the subway, it says, do not see pink. And the word pink was in blue. Or blue. And the word blue was in pink. Choose the restroom of your choice.
Oh, my Lord.
Already in New York.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's a little creepy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, hey, you need to get over there. You're not a dude. But, you know, and I want you to understand, we need to turn to the Lord. We are letting man become self-professed gods in this day and time.
Yeah.
We're letting man make rules. We're letting man change the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, let me ask you this, church. Why are we letting man change it? Because it's not politically correct for the church to stand up. Let me tell you something. It wasn't politically correct for Jesus to heal people on the Sabbath either, was it?
No, it wasn't.
But what did Jesus say? He said, hold up, man. Hey, dude, don't wait till Monday. I'll heal you then. Make sure you're around the pool. Don't get in. No, Jesus did not do that. Jesus would touch people. Jesus would heal people. Jesus would not sit there and say, hey, I fed 5,000. Hey, wait, there's some people coming in late. Can't feed them. They're late. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus took care of people. Jesus done what was needed.
Amen.
And today is the day that we need to turn to God. It says now is the accepted time to turn to the Lord. Millions are turning to education, sciences, psychology, only to become more frustrated. Think about it. Our teenagers go to college. In the first 2 years of college, they go through philosophy and some psychology courses and some history. That will totally warp their mind about Christianity. But what do we do about it? Here's the thing. We need to train them up in the Lord before they ever get there.
Amen.
We need to give them the Word of God from the time they get old enough to read it until the time they go to college so they can retain it. You know, I'm going to tell you this. You know that you are supposed to behave in church. You know how you're supposed to drive on the road because you have been taught. And when we don't teach the Word of God the way it is, then we are deceiving our own people.
Amen.
We cannot do that any longer. God often works through other people, doctors, lawyers, and loved ones and friends. Think about it. You know, a lot of people say, well, if you didn't have this doctor do your surgery, you would never made it. Let me tell you something. If I wouldn't have had God, I would have never made it.
Amen.
And that's the same thing for you being here today. Without Jesus, we can't make it. And I'm glad that God has given people the ability, and we need to trust Him. Forgiveness and cleansing our sins. And when we repent and commit our life to God, look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen. You don't have to carry it no more. You don't have to worry about saying, you know, Lord, I used to do these things. I used to look on these things. I used to say these things. Let me tell you something. Jesus wants you right now, the way you are. He wants the shag nasties. He wants the dirties. He says, I'm going to clean you up. You can't clean yourself up no more. And a lot of people say, well, I'm just not living the life right now. Well, you know what you're saying? You're saying, I really need Him right now. I need Him right now. I need to turn to Him right now and be saved. And look at Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me tell you something. You should turn to Him because He was the one that bore the shame of our sins on the cross.
Amen.
When He outstretched His arms, He carried your sins. He carried my sins. He carried the sins of children that's still being born today. And we sit there and think, oh, we can't give it up to you, Lord. Let me tell you something. He's saying, put your sins down. Quit. You're being choked. And that's what Satan is doing to you. You've got chains on you and you don't even see them. And He said, I can break those chains. I love you. I want to help you. And people still say, not now. Not ready. I'm not ready to make that turn. Second point, if I invest in the Lord. Now, I hope you all invested in the Lord when the plate got passed. I told them. All right. So, now think about it. Invest in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times some people sit there and think what they earn or what they got is theirs.
It ain't.
Boy, I'm telling you, that's Sister Alice, you're right. It ain't. It is His.
That's right.
And we have the ability to be good stewards of what He's blessed us with. And some of us are hoarding the Lord's givings. Some of us sometimes don't want to invest. I've seen people want to sit there and not give their tithe because they're mad at the pastor. Can you believe such a thing like that?
Yeah.
Brother Ken. Can you? Think about it. People, I have seen people send money somewhere else and say, I'm not going to support my church. Let me tell you something. When you don't support your church, you don't support your Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
You don't support your Lord. You need to be invested in the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21 says this, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break their through and steal, nor steal. Now think about it like this. How many times when you have something, You don't want it stolen. So what do? We put it in the safe. We have safes. We have safes for money. We have safes at the bank. We have safes for guns. We have safes. And you put it in a safe for the thing to keep it safe. When you give to God, there is no more safer safe than given to the Lord. And you sit there and think, well, somebody might be corrupt. Let me tell you something. God handles that, not you.
Amen.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to be judge, jury. You can just go ahead and let Judy do her job and you do yours. You need to give to the Lord.
Amen.
You need to invest. You know, millions are investing in temporal possessions. Think about it. Houses, cars, gadgets. They pursue the things that wear out and rust and decay. You know, some people want the fancy gadgets, whether they're Apples and stuff like that. You know, phones. You know, think about teenagers and phones. You know, they want the new iPhone. They want this. They want that. And sometimes that's me. But still, the whole thing is this. There's things that we want. But when it comes down to it, am I investing in what the Lord would have me do?
Amen.
Am I supporting our evangelists? Am I supporting our missionaries? Am I giving to the golden offering? Because when we sit here and we think about it, guys, we need to be investing that because that gets the word out.
Amen.
It's not about somebody sitting back and, you know, just like, ha, ha, ha. No, it's about telling others the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at Operation Christmas Child. Operation Christmas Child, what a great way to send a shoebox. And there's so many shoeboxes, guys. I don't know if you've ever been up to Boone, to the processing center, or anywhere else, but we do that every year. It's very hard to get into now. And we go up there, and you wouldn't believe how many boxes we open up. And there's no envelopes for that $7. They pack the box, and they send it without it. I'm glad we have churches that continue to give to Samaritan's Purse to help cover the cost. At least people wear a pack of shoebox. But you know what? There has to be a little something else in it to send it out. And we have to be thinking like that. How can we help? We had a thing called Soul Hope at the church. And we took old blue jeans. And Tony, you was around during those polyester burning days. Okay. And we were saying, don't throw away your blue jeans. But we had with the Baptist women and our youth girls, they actually took blue jeans. As long as they didn't have holes in them. They would cut the legs, and they make shoe patterns for this group called Soul Hope. And what they do is, you make a pattern for a certain size, and everybody makes that same size and send it in. And it's almost like a generic Tom shoe for the kids in Africa. And they get jitters in their feet, and it's bugs that get into their toes and causes severe pain. And what they do is, with that $10 that you give once you make it, for every pair you send $10. And that $10 lets somebody in Africa no longer be in slavery like sex trafficking, that they can work for the sewers and sew their shoes together so that people can have health care for their feet and not use that same needle to take that out and spread AIDS even more. And I sit there and I think about this. What a great thing to give to have somebody be able to walk around and not have that pain.
Amen.
And also to share the love of Christ. And why are these people doing this? Because they love Him.
Amen.
That provides and takes care of Him, of them. Let me tell you something. We serve a mighty God. And we need to be looking for ways that we can invest in the Lord. And there's many ways. It says, God demands first place in our life. He expects us to be faithful in worship and help finance the needs of outreach of the church. Think about it. What great things. I remember the first care day we had here. Anybody remember the first one besides Richard? I mean, I can remember. Renee, where are you at?
Children's Church.
Okay, now we can talk about Renee. finally, somebody I called out and said, yeah. But I remember Renee, she would do the blood pressure, right? You guys remember that? I didn't want everything that here. They did the blood pressure checks, the brakes, the oil change. We had... Brother Kim was there to share the gospel. We would just do whatever. We'd take the youth, rake leaves, whatever was needed. Guys, listen, what a great way to invest your time. And a lot of people sit there and say, oh, I'm sure people grumble and say, oh, Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Am I right? 8 o'clock?
7:30.
Even better. Oh, 7:30. But here's the thing. You think about getting up at 7:30, and you're doing it for your Savior and Lord, I'm going to tell you, He's going to bless you without you even asking.
Amen.
He's going to send blessings and seeing how others are so blessed by you just giving your time, giving your ear, giving your shoulder, giving your expertise because you did something for them. And you don't have your hand out. You're going to give a handshake and a brotherly love hug because you did it, because you love Jesus.
Amen.
Invest your time. Invest your time wisely in the Lord. And it says, when we invest in the Lord, we work for the salvation of the souls. Earthly treasures do not last, but spiritual treasures are eternal value. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, for they be not high-minded. And think about that. That's arrogant. When I think of high-minded, my pastor has come up with this term that I really like. It's like someone who gets to know Jesus really, really well, and they get all this knowledge and they keep it in. He calls them biblical fatheads. And, they want to just, hey, I got this knowledge. Let me tell you something. If you have all this knowledge and you're not telling others about it, what good is it?
Amen.
Right. What good is it? You need to be spreading the word. And it says, don't be high-minded or arrogant, nor trusting in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Think about it. The Lord wants to bless you. He doesn't want to curse you. He wants to build you up, not put you down.
Sure.
So would you not want to invest in something like that? You know, a lot of people say, well, Scott, I like taking a little trip to Cherokee once in a while. Well, let me tell you something. Are you guaranteed you're going to get something out of it?
No.
Are you guaranteed when you put your money out there in the stock market, are you guaranteed a return? Let me tell you something. You're guaranteed something when you put it in Jesus.
Amen.
You're guaranteed a return no matter what you give, your time, your effort, your daily Bible study. Listen, if you serve Him and invest in Him, He too will bless you. The third point is march. March with the Lord. March with the Lord. And you sit there and you think about that. March with the Lord. What does that mean? A good soldier is loyal. Think about it. You're going to be loyal to the Lord. And you sit there and you think about your time and what you've done. You're going to be loyal. Look at all the people here for homecoming today. All the people that's made a special time to be here, whether you're coming from other churches, but you're loyal. When you see that homecoming, you're loyal to say, I'm coming home. You know, when husbands are out on a job and it's 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden you get a chance to leave work, where are you coming? You're coming, you're going to go home. Think about it. You're going to go home when school's over at the end of the day. The students are going to sit there and say, oh, please, please, I want more school. Can I have another hour, brother? Can I have another hour? No, one more class. No, they're going to come home. They want to do things. They want to be at home because home's a refuge. Listen, when we march with the Lord, we want to be with Him. We want to be in prayer with Him. We want to give time to Him. We want to read His Word because it's most important to us. But when we don't march with Him, we're not going to be loyal to Him. Let me ask you something. When you get up in the morning, are you loyal enough to talk to Him?
Amen.
Are you loyal enough to sit there and say, Lord, I just want to say thank you for another day you blessed me with. For another day you've opened my eyes on this side of eternity. Because I'm going to tell you something. We need to.
Amen.
We need to be loyal to Him because He's most loyal to us. 2 Timothy 2:3 says this. It says, that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Living the life for Christ is not the easiest road you can take. I don't understand everything that happens. You probably don't understand things that's happening in your life. I'm going to take you down a quick trip real quick. But here's my quick trip with the Lord. You always need to listen the way the Lord's moving. One day, I was working for Chick-fil-A, and I was working for church, and then all of a sudden an opportunity came up, and I left one church and left Chick-fil-A and went where the Lord said, and then all of a sudden a year later, and a year about 4 months later, I had an aortic dissection, And before I was at with the church, where I was at with God, God took care of me because I marched with Him.
Amen.
Now you guys might sit there and say, well, they don't always happen. Well, think about it. Look back at your life and look where you're at today.
Amen.
God has directed and placed people and jobs and careers and others around you in fellowship that has guided you and protected you, and you just haven't taken the time to look around. God will always be loyal to you.
Amen.
He will never turn His back on you. He will never choose one over the other. He is in your corner.
Amen.
And I think so many times we sit there and we say, God, why'd you let this happen to me? Because He loves you. And He's got a plan for you. You need to see it through. See God's plan. And march with Him. And that's what we have to do. It says, now it's time for Christians to advance as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, sacrifice, loyalty, courage, and love that's needed. And think about it, this day and time, Brother Tim brought it up, just in case you guys are watching when you do your taping, Tim brought up the political stuff before I did. And this year, you guys have a chance to stand up for salvation and Jesus Christ the way He would. You got to go out, you got to vote. You got to vote, and you got to vote the way of the Lord. Now you sit there and say, well, what's the way of the Lord? Read your word.
Yeah.
Read your word. I don't have to tell you how to vote. Read your word. Let God lead your vote. I don't care if you're in that little booth that has the electrical, or you have the mechanical, or the big old lever that I used to do as a teenager. I remember my grandmother would take me in the election booth, and you had that big old lever. Am I right?
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't Las Vegas I'm talking about. But, you know, the whole, make sure you're awake. But the whole thing is, we had to cast that vote. And they let the Lord lead. You don't have to let people who lead you on TV or stuff like that. Let the Lord lead your vote, because you're going to be loyal. But I'm going to tell you this. When you say things that's not so popular, and you say things that I don't believe it should be done, you better be ready to endure some hardness. You better be ready to pick up the cross of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, people. It doesn't get easier on this side.
No.
He never said, follow me, and I'm going to make it easy.
No.
Never said it. And there's so many Christians, as soon as it gets hard, they back away. Ooh, too deep. Don't need to teach that class. Don't need to volunteer. Don't want to do that. Let me tell you something. We need to be marching with Him, and that's what we need to do. 2 Timothy 2:2 says this. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Think about it. Being able to teach, being able to stand up, be able to volunteer for the Lord. Tell the good news, and we must endure it. And that leads us to our last and final point. Endure for the Lord. Endure for the Lord. And when you sit there and you think about that, what does endure mean? There's going to be things that's going to come up. There's going to be things that we're going to have to go through. There's going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be valleys, and there's going to be mountaintops. And when you're on the mountaintop, praise the Lord, and you better get on your knees and start praying, because the valley's soon coming.
Amen.
Because a lot of people think, man, this is great up here on the mountain. Hit your knees. Get ready to fall. Because the Lord's going to keep you humble. And the Lord's going to keep you stable and where He can use you. In Matthew 24:13, says this, Matthew 24:13, it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, Christians. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on this world. You know what? A lot of people say that we live in the end times. Let me tell you something. I don't think you have to really look around much to see it. I don't think you have to see that the world is being confused. I stand here in the year 2016 when we have legalized same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
We have legalized, once again, abortion, that it will stand. We have legalized where you can have natural growing plant enhancements to relieve pain, and the government do that. We're now legalizing it where transgenders are going to be treated as equal. We live in a day and time in North Carolina when they told the faculty at some schools no longer to refer to students as boys and girls, because you may be warping them into a way that they don't need to be. You only need to call them scholars and students.
Amen.
That's what day and time we're living in.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot happen in the past in my 40 years of life. But I have never seen the downfall of our society as we've seen it in the year 2016.
Amen.
Right.
I had an evangelist that was at the church not too long ago, Brother John Franklin from First Baptist Church, Clarksville. And he's wrote a lot of books on spiritual prayer and awakening. And Brother Franklin shared with us that he believes that America started downfalling at Kennedy's assassination. And then he later shared with us, but also at the beginning of this year, we went down a deep, steep slope. Even deeper.
Yeah.
Guys, listen. We must stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
We must press on for the cross.
Amen.
And I remember this, and it sounds very old-fashioned, but I learned it here at Boone's Creek. We need Jesus now.
Amen.
More than ever.
Amen.
And we need to be telling the good news of Jesus now. More than ever. And when we get that mentality and that mindset, then we're going to know that we're going to endure this for Him. In Revelation 2:10, it says this: "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you shall be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and endure it. Go ahead and be in prison for the Lord. If you go out here and say something, you call a boy or a girl, and they send you to jail, then you should sit in the prisons like Paul and Silas and say, "How great is our God?" Because
Amen.
We're doing it for Him and not me.
Amen.
And when we sit back and say, "Well, that too shall pass," well, let me tell you this. I'm glad that Jesus, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that He wasn't sitting there praying, "This too shall pass." Because guess what? He got up and got arrested and got tried as an innocent man and was hung on a cross amongst two thieves for you and I. And we sit there and think that we're not going to stand up for Him today. Let me tell you something. We need to get on fire for Jesus Christ and quit being watered down Christians.
Amen.
We need to understand there is people right now all over the world being in prison for sharing the gospel.
Amen.
We're not going to be in prison yet right now. But what's keeping you from it? Why are you not on fire to tell somebody? You know, I sit here and I see the voice of the martyrs that comes to my office once a month, and I see all these people being tried and put in prison and taken away from their families because they're standing up for Christ. And I sit there and I think, how weak of a Christian am I that I sit here in my office and I'm studying them, telling them God's Word, and I'm not out there being persecuted, and I'm not out there being in prison because others are.
Amen.
I am so thankful that the Lord hasn't done that. But listen, guys, I want to be out there shaking the trees. I want to be out there telling the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now is that time. We need to never give up in despair. When shaken and disturbed, hold on to Christ.
Amen.
Think about Paul. Who would have ever thought Paul would have got out of jail? Who would have ever thought it? God did.
Amen.
Maybe God put him in there to test him, to see where his faith lies.
Uh-huh.
Maybe God's testing you and I. Where does our faith lie? Would we run? Or would we just go ahead and bow down and say, "God, here I am. Send me."
Amen.
Let me tell you something. What a great thing to have is to have time for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There may be people here today that you've never accepted this Jesus that I've been talking about as Lord and personal Savior. Now is the time.
Amen.
The time is open for you. Maybe you've been backslid. Maybe you've gotten cold on the Lord. You know what? He's never got cold on you.
Amen.
He's never left your side. He's been through every trial and tribulation with you. You've never turned around to look for Him. Maybe you've looked for other vices to fill that role. Well, now He's out here saying, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Would you come to me? Would you have time for me? I make time for you. Time after time. From the rugged cross to the resurrection. And now He's at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
And He's ever interceding for you and I.
Amen.
The only thing you have to do is give Him time. Would you not give Him time? Think about it. When you have kids come up to you and say, hey, I want to tell you something. What do? We turn around and listen, don't we? Most of the time. But do we take that time for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let's all stand. As they begin to sing, Brother Gary, come down here if you will. Maybe today is the time for you to make things right with God. Maybe now is the time to give things up and say, God, I need you more than ever.
Amen.
Show me ways I can be with you more. Show with me how I can trust in you, invest in you, march with you, and endure with you. Help me, Lord, in my walk. Maybe it's you that's here that don't know Him. Hey, what a homecoming day that's going to be. The angels will sing. Oh, what a day.
Amen.
Make today your day of salvation if you don't know Him. But the worst thing you can do is just listen and not move. And not give Him time. Who are you giving your time to? If it's not the Lord, I know who it is. And so do you. As they sing, will you come?
Donna back there?
She went with it?
She went
with
it.
See, you get out of this.
She can get out of this. All right, Mary Ann? She's come up here, honey. Well, well. Just stand right here, honey. We're gonna honor your dad. I know he'll be sad, but you can share with him. So this is a big crowd, so I don't want to miss out. And only two or three people knew anything about this. On September the 30th, Brother Gary, 1979, I preached a homecoming service. And Bud had encouraged all the men to dress in overalls, and the women to dress in long dresses and bonnets, and some of the women, as I recall, did that, but only one fella, I think, had overalls on, and that was Brother Bill. And, it wasn't Brother Bill at that time, just Bill. And he was dating Donna, and I preached that morning, and Bill came forward and got saved.
Amen.
On the 30th of September, that's 4 years more. In 1979. About three years after that, Scott, Ricky Hall, Ricky's not business this morning, he was here then, he asked Brother Bill, said, Bill, would you consider helping us in the finance area? And Bill agreed to do so, not knowing that he would just continue on and on and on. So last year, in the fall of 2015, he would have included approximately 33 years as our treasurer of this church.
Amen.
Now, since he was kind of forced to retire here too early than he had attended, we've put him on staff here. And has now, for almost a year, been being paid some to help do work around here, and their finances and all, and answer questions that you might have involving taxes and finances. But for 33 years, he did that free. No charge whatsoever.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I think of Paul writing to the church at Philippi and telling them about that little letter by Epaphroditus. When he comes back, I want you to know how much I appreciate what he's done for me, and I want you to know how much he loves you and how much he appreciates you folks there at Philippi. And when he gets back, says Paul, I want you to hold him in reputation, honor him for the sacrifice and the work that he has done. Not only that, you know, those that work faithfully and sacrificially and deserve honor need to be honored. So I have here this morning, Marianne, for your dad, and I'm sorry he's not here. I didn't dream about going to pick up chicken. I thought he'd not have might run out to get over to the township or something. I didn't know he was going to be going to get chicken. And only two or three people even do anything about this. So I have a big 33 up there at the top, and it says presented to William R. Bill Riddle. In appreciation for 33 years of faithful and sacrificial service as treasurer, in parentheses, 1982-2015, of Boone's Creek Baptist Church at 304 Pickens Bridge Road. I didn't realize a while back they changed that to South Pickens Bridge Road, but I've got Pickens 304 Pickens Bridge Road on that. In Johnson, Tennessee, 37615, September the 25th, 2016. And we want to present that to you to give to your dad and let him know how much we appreciate it. But that's not all. When I heard Bill mention about 2 years ago that he was thinking about giving up the treasurer job, he'd had it for 30, 31 years. At that time, I don't think he realized that he'll be stepping down from his own job, Brother Gary. But he's talking about giving it up. And almost immediately, the Lord laid something on my heart, which was this. We need to do something to let Brother Bill know how much we appreciate it. Because those of you who've been here any amount of time at all know of the expertise that Brother Bill has in the area of finances. Sister Rita said to me the other day, she said, he's probably kept us out of some hot water here at the church by letting us know things we could do and could not do when it comes to taxes and finances. And how many of you, including myself, has he helped with taxes and helped us to get more back on our income tax and instruct us in how we ought to do things and how we ought not to do things? So, and you've seen the financial statements that he's put out all over the years and all through the years. So you know the expertise that he has in this field. So I thought a nice thing to do. I heard Brother Beale, your dad, mention about a year or two ago that when he and your mother retired, of course he's pretty much retired, actually he's 7 years, but it'll be about 2 years for her. But see, the Lord may come before 2 years and you know, something could happen. So the Lord laid upon my heart 33 years. If we gave him $100 for each year, that'd be $3,300. Now, don't panic, Deacon. We're not going to do that through the church treasure or through the general fund. This is going to be something just wide open for you to participate in. And I already have, of those $3,300 that we're going to come up with, I already have $300 here in my hand. So that only leaves $3,000. And if 30 families gave just $100, by next June the 1st, because your mother will be getting out of school by that time, why wait 2 years? Just go next year. I don't think I said what he mentioned. That when that happened, he wanted to take a trip west and see the landmarks of the country. I about let that part out. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And the golden year set in. But anyway, so hopefully by June the 1st, that's going to be the deadline. If we get it before then, we'll do it before then. But if 30 families gave just $100, or if 40 families gave $75, and giving, you know, the 30 families, that'd only be, about 12, between now and next June, $12 and a half a month. You could probably come up with that, couldn't you? So maybe we'll give more. If we get that $3,300 before then, that's fine. Now, we're not going to do this through the church treasurer or the general fund. So I don't want anybody to rewrite the check to Boot Creek Baptist Church, build real fund. No. I want you to give cash. Or if you write a check, write it to Rita or to myself. We'll cash it. I want to hand Brother Bill 33 brand new $100 bills when we come up with it. Amen. To let him know how much we appreciate what he's done for us for 33 years. Free. Didn't charge us anything. Can you imagine? And that's not to pay your dad. We couldn't pay him for what he's done. Just to show our appreciation. Now, all of you who are in favor of doing that, and you can give it any time, beginning right now, until next June the 1st. All of you in favor of doing that, I know you're hungry, so would you stand up? All right. That's so encouraging, Brother John David. I want you to go back there and get 2 or 3 offering plates. And I want to be back there at that door, and want to be over here at this door, and want to be down at the other door. You know, Baptists will slip out of you. You have to watch it. But you may want to give something this morning, and Sister Rita will keep you informed at least once a month how we're doing on that fund, all right? We've only got 300, so that cuts it down to 3, all right? And so, okay. Jerry, you have anything? We got 400. The pastor's giving 400. I mean, by 100. I'm sorry, Gary. That makes it 400. All right. So we already got 400. All right. So now, Brother John Davis over here. Who we got back there? The back. Who's back there?
Rodney's back there.
Who?
Rodney's back there.
Okay. He's back there. Oh, he's got 2 plates. Okay, good. All right. We'll catch his each hand. Okay. Look, y'all, you want to say anything to close or have a prayer? Go ahead and thank the Lord for the food. Now, Sister Rita, I've already talked to her. She's going to be helping take care of this money, and she'll keep informed what we got. And we'll have. I'm so sorry.
But you know, Brother Tony, I think it'll come a lot better for a pretty face like this.
That's probably true. Gary and I are good friends. You know, I'm so glad I got to be here this morning, because I've had a story I've been wanting to tell Gary for a long time that really just make your hair come out, but I see he's already heard it. Oh.
it's good to have you, and I don't know how you've been doing it in times past, but I know how hectic it gets over there, and all the coming and going, fellowshipping, and it gets pretty hard to say a blessing over there. So let's just go ahead and bless our food over here, and thank him for it, and enjoy the fellowship over there, just spend time with friends, and I just pray that the fellowship may be as sweet with the Holy Spirit as it is with one another. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Master, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for a church that looks to its own and says thank you. Lord, many hours has been given by Bill, and I'm sure sacrifices made along the way. We just pray now that you just bless him, Donna, and family, and Lord, bless our whole church. Help us, Lord, to just cling to you first and to one another second. Lord, may we be a close congregation. And Lord, we ask you now to bless the food, the hands that provided it, the hands that prepared it, and Lord, use it, the nourishment of that food to build our bodies. And Lord, may we use that strength and nourishment for kingdom's sake. Thank you for Scott who came and preached and just with a passion of his heart laid out the word of God before us. We pray you'll bless he and his family. And Father, thank you for everyone that's made their way here this morning. Keep them safe on their way home. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoomsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.